John Willits from Special Operations Equipment. Howdy.
Hello.
You've got some sexy bags back there. Talk about those bags before I introduce this other yay who's on here.
So once a week we do a sew video where I teach you how to build something that I make. For guys that are like, that costs too much. I'm like, you're right. You should totally build your own. So I show you how to do it. And these are some of the customs that I have done. And I have a website called SOE Quick Ship. And that's mostly stuff that I myself have made or Amanda has made. And like this canvas tool bag here, those are old Vietnam sea bags that we've cut apart. So they usually have like, you know, guy's name and different units and stuff on them. We try to keep all of those original stencilings. And then the other one over there is a real heavy black full leather clothes bag. And that's the first thing I've made 100% leather. I've always done leather stuff, but with webbing and things. I actually made all of the straps and everything out of webbing on that, out of leather.
Well, those bags, I've been like drooling over them, watching them. They're just watching you make the different ones, and they are beautiful. So
yeah, wait till you see one. It just the when you can add that smell. I wish we could put smell through. Actually, I don't wish we could put smell. Imagine what weirdos would do.
Well, I gotta see these leathers. Here's this is kind of my go-to bag when I'm out with.
Oh, nice. We've been building those too.
With me or a MacBook or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this.
You could put a whole side folder carbine in that thing. You could put an MP5 and your computer.
Yeah.
See, this is my cart it back and forth from where I live now bag.
Got it.
Next door. Yeah.
Grocery bag. Yeah.
That's just the grocery bag. But when I'm traveling, it's like that backpack is the bomb.
Yep.
So. Well, I'll get to see one in October, I hope. You got an event coming up, right?
Yeah, it's like 6 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do we all have events coming up? It sounds like we do.
We do. Okay, so this other yahoo who's on with us today is Jack Spirko from the Survival Podcast. And he has an event coming up in November.
I do. It's going on sale, though, on September 19, I think. And it's one of those ones that if you don't get up, it's the 19th. Yeah, Saturday morning, the 19th, 9 a.m. Central, it will go on sale. Usually it makes it about 10 minutes. So if you want to come, and it's going to be cool. We're going to have a lot of fun. And come on down. We have good food, good people. There's a Nicole Sauce in that image. You have to look to find it. But it's just above the dock and to your right as you look at it. And that's the pose. And it should be fun. This will be, I don't even know how many we've done, but we did our first ones in 2013.
Yeah.
And we've never missed a year of doing at least one. And we've had a few years where we went absolutely insane and did like four. But we anchored down on one a year now.
And John is hosting a party on October 10th that you don't have to RSVP for it, do you?
We asking that you do so we know how many porta potties, how much food, everything to have here. It's free. It's also free to be a vendor. All you gotta do is we just need you to RSVP. Tell us what your product or service is.
Cool. That's it. SOETacticalGear.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right on and any text you get, any email you've gotten from us has it there. It's on the carousel on the front of the page.
It's literally all over social media if you bother to look for Special Operations Equipment at all.
Yeah,
you'll find it. If you go to his nightly live, I'm sure you'll hear about it.
That generator show you did was awesome. I sent that to a bunch of people.
Oh, with Ryan?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, guys. Well, I'm Nicole Sauce from Living Free in Tennessee, and my event is about creating life, facilitating life to create itself in your soil. On October 2nd and 3rd with Alan Booker and Chase Jones, we're gonna be both learning the theory of healthy soils, which dovetails in with the bioreactor that Jack built here a couple years ago, and I saved some soil from that to look at. But also we'll be hands-on microscopy, learning how to evaluate the quality of your soil and the things you'll want to know as you create living soil. Now, Jack, why would you want living soil on your homestead?
Well, because if you don't have living soil, you have dead soil, and nobody wants dead soil. But seriously, like, people think that when you want to grow really nutritious plants, what you want is lots of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, because that's what the fertilizer is. Well, you know, nitrogen is 78% of the atmosphere. Why are we importing it? The reality is what actually makes plants grow healthy in nature, where nobody, you know, feeds them and fertilizes them, is biology in the soil. So there, everything your plant needs is probably already in your soil. There might be a mineral or two you can amend, but when you unlock the biology, when you unlock the life, the plant can actually get at the nutrient, and you don't have to use basically acid poured on rocks to make fertilizer anymore. You're no longer dependent on that. And your plants won't just grow really well. They'll also be a lot more resistant to diseases and insect pests, especially if you have Alan Booker helping you, which Nicole is doing for you. She's bringing him to that event.
Yeah, he's a great teacher. And I learned, like, my biggest benefit with living soil. Look at this. Look what I can do, John.
Oh, your shoulder will lift?
Yeah, mine kind of. I couldn't do that until about late June. And so, as you can imagine, gardening without your arms being able to move right is hard. So my garden is not as cultivated as usual this year. And I have been harvesting off that thing like week after week after week because I've managed to get the seeds in. Weed pressure is really low. And it's just the plants are great. I haven't even done the usual compost tea drench, Jack. Like, it just grew. So they're not as good as they would have been if I would have done the extra things. But the fact that the foundation was set is huge. And I think that's why I was excited to do the class. Anyway, you can sign up at livingfreeintennessee.com. I actually planned to start out as advertisements today, but then those sexy bags were behind John, and I just couldn't point out the bags in the background. Okay. So are we going to talk about the 9-to-5 lady today?
I think we should, at least a bit. I mean, it's an American icon that has passed. We lost some other people too, but I think she's probably the biggest name.
It was interesting because Tim Curry is not a small name.
No.
But she passed and then dominated the news cycle for days. Yeah. And now, like, his stuff is bubbling up as well, but they died on the same day. It was like I was telling Jack before the show, John, I felt actual sadness having never met this person when I heard that she died. And it's because I've always admired how when she's like asked a hard question or faced with a hard situation, she has a great way of staying true to her whatever her ethical scale is, and then communicating it in a way that is not like you're a poopy head basically on the shoot. So it's like you accept that, oh, we have a different opinion, and also I can see your perspective, and I appreciated that about her, as well as her commitment to leaving something in the world better about things she cared about, like the, you know, imagination library and all that stuff. But yeah, Jack did. Go ahead.
I was going to say, go ahead, John.
She put $4 million up for the right after the fires. She put $4 million of her own money into the community. And then she went around and pledged, I think it was $1,000 that was raised. She raised a pool of money and pledged to give it to each family affected that lived in the area there in Gatlinburg. And it overshot the amount, and she actually gave them $5,000 apiece is what I remember seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, we just lost somebody that was about as close as you get to being universally loved in 2026. I'm sure she has some people that don't like her.
Yeah, there's whatever. Some out there.
But, I mean, you know, you're talking 2% of the population. Like, if politicians had approval numbers like Dolly Parton does, I think we would have, like, you know, the futuristic society they put on TV, not the dystopian one. Like, everybody has flying cars, and it's like the Jetsons, and there's plants everywhere. Like, if for politicians to have that kind of actual approval, that's what they would have to do for us, which would ain't happening. I mean, it's young people, old people, everybody in between. And I think it's because she was just a relatable person, and she kept her personal crap out of the papers and media and all. She didn't feel a need to try to make herself a huge focus. She's just a performer, did her things, made a lot of money, and helped a lot of people.
And if you criticized her, she didn't come out to defend herself.
No.
Defend my honor. She was like, whatever, you think that. I think Chuck Norris now handles the pearly gates. Dolly's in good hands. Well, Jack was frustrated because all of these newsmakers were talking about it, right?
Yeah. Their fake crap bothers me. You know, they're all talking about it like they lost somebody. And you just look at some of these empty suits and pantsuits, and you're like, if I put you in a room and put a gun to your head and said, now you don't have Google in front of you, give me five Dolly Parton songs or your brains are going on the wall, they couldn't have done it to save their life. And I hate the fake nature of that. You know, they're the same people that they're talking about a horrible car crash and 12 people died and they have a smile on their face. Like, I just despise the media and I despise fakeness. And the fakeness about somebody so genuine, that's what really bothered me. And I don't know, maybe a couple of them really did, you know her well. But I just got the feeling most of them were just reading whatever the teleprompter said, as per usual. And I guess the contrast makes it worse, right? Because you have somebody so authentic, and then you have somebody so fake talking about somebody so authentic. You just want to, you know, five across the eyes.
It's what it is. Okay. I've been hearing a lot from folks in the network about struggles with budget and the prices and all of that, those sorts of things. And we're kind of at this interesting place. Jack talks about this on his show all the time about, like, AI, the AI surge is happening right now. And I mean, genuinely, I'm hearing about people losing jobs, not necessarily because of AI, but also because of where our economy is. Something I thought would be interesting to talk about, which we have talked about before, but just in the context of where we are right now, if you're feeling the crunch, what are some tangible ways you can deal with that? Either in, like, make more money, not just make more money, but how can people get their head mindset changed to start making more money? And then, or just taking advantage of ways to spend less money.
Do you want to go first, John, or you want me to?
Yeah, make more money.
Make more money.
I mean, just taking, just do something that somebody else doesn't want to do. Go to people that do have money and make yourself useful to them. If you have time to watch movies or TV or video games or any of that, that's time that you could have spent making more money. There's always something to do that you have to be useful. You got to do uncomfortable things or dangerous things, or you have to be useful and be able to do something that somebody else cannot do. There's always somebody that has money. You just have to provide a service or a skill or a good that they want to exchange that money with you for.
I think that also when you charge money for the things you do, you are not doing the world a service by underpaying yourself.
No.
Keep prices low in the context of all of your bills are going up too. And that's something, it's like this community good, I'm going to price myself really low because people can't afford it thing. Gets you in more trouble than just pricing it. And if you want to help somebody, helping somebody.
Yeah. Amanda's in a ton of these soap groups and she shows them to me every day. And these ladies are like, I'm selling my bars of soap for $5. And, you know, I'm thinking about raising the price to $7. And Amanda's like, I sell my bars of soap for $25. Like, you can't even make a bar of soap for five and sell it for $5 a bar. It doesn't exist. It's people who are their husband works or whatever, and they're making soap during the day and the property's paid for, or they don't include and, you know, figure out the electricity. It's like buying a freeze dryer and running and not figuring out the electricity on the freeze dryer to do bags of eggs, right? We're doing 100 eggs every week. We're freeze drying 100 eggs. And that sounds great. But when you look at the price of them, they're selling them for $70 a bag. And I'm like, holy cow, $70 for a bag with 20 eggs in it. What in the world? But then when you figure out the cost and the electricity and what I pay Sky to crack the eggs and what I, you know, pay, you know, some, when you put your time in, most people don't ever figure out their time. And most people, when they do figure out the time, they're, you know, it's the same person screaming that, you know, the McDonald's worker should make $25 an hour. But they're not even paying themselves minimum wage on whatever their thing is.
Yeah, they're making $5 an hour.
If that.
Yeah. I agree with what John's saying. I'll also say, like, there's two ends to work. There's the outflow and the inflow, right? So, like, actually this morning, because I traveled this weekend and all, I forgot it was First Tuesday. So I was.
That's why I texted you this morning.
I was like, I remembered, and then I pulled up the thing to let you know, because we were only an hour out, and I was going to say, hey, can you just get it up, and then I'll polish it later, and you had already done it, so
I did it last night. I was like, he's going to be not thinking about that, yeah.
But my show that I'll do now next Tuesday is on cooking, and like how to cook really amazing food for a lot less money. And like that is one place, and cooking, or not cooking, food is the third largest average aggregate household expense in the country. And if you think about it, like the budget of the United States government, when they say we don't want to touch any what they call entitlements, that's where all the money is. It's in Department of Defense and it's in entitlements, and you have to do something with the biggest expense bucket. So that's a big expense bucket. But I'm with John on the entrepreneurship thing. Like, if you have a great job, fine. And if you want to have a great job, fine. But then you also need to think like an entrepreneur, right? You need to be what they call an intrapreneur, like so valuable to your organization that they're scared shitless you're going to leave or be stolen. Because one of the indicators that we have right now about how much layoff is coming is the change in H-1B visas. Did you hear that yesterday, mm-hmm. Nicole?
No, I didn't.
So all the headlines are like, the mean orange man is deporting H-1B visa holders for no reason. No, he rolled back the policy to exactly what it was for 8 years under Obama.
Yep.
Which is, if you lose your job, you go home if you don't get another job really
immediately.
Really
yeah, right? Quickly.
So what Obama did right before he handed the reins over to Trump the first time was put in it was like 60 days of like a grace period that they get before they have to leave. So the only reason you would do this is a lot of them are getting laid off, right? So that tells you that even these people that they're bringing all the way over from India and Pakistan and what have you to do knowledge work, those guys are losing their jobs. And they're the lowest cost tier in the system. And if they came in under, since Trump made that huge change where it's much more expensive for the company to get a visa now, the reason they'll still pay the money to get them the visa is because they're prorating it over 7 years. And they're saying, so even though it's, you know, $100,000 to bring this person in or whatever, it's still cheaper than hiring an American. And those people are getting laid off with that saddled cost. So I think everybody knows that we are about to go through a major shift on the employment scale, and they just don't know exactly what it looks like. And it's compounded by the fact that they overhired so many freaking people. It literally like became part of your branding and marketing to say, we hired 10,000 more people. And we had like 15 years of the cheapest money that's ever existed. And they use that money to just grow headcount for the purpose of growing headcount. And now the chickens have come home to roost and it's not there. So, you know, getting into a business is great. And that, hey, I get to shill something else we're working on. We have another AI-driven course coming out on how to pick out the business for you. It's going to be a three-week course. It's going to be inexpensive, be like $50 or something like that. And you do work each day for about 30 minutes a day. And what we're trying to do is help that person find the business that has a chance of success with them running it. Because the issue is the business a good idea? It means nothing in of itself. Is a business like SOE a great idea? Yes, obviously. It's a multi-million dollar business that John runs and built this kingdom with. Is it a good idea for Jack Spirko? No. I would kill half the people that work for you a year. I would murder them. Like, I give you one chance to get it right and you're done. I'm not a people person when it comes to production. I want you to work. I want you to work right or out you go instantly. And I know you're tough, but I'm unreasonable. I know I'm unreasonable.
John has people skills. Like that's something I've watched
my
him
people
operate.
Skills, my people skills fit confidence only. Like you have to be 100% confident from day one or you're gone. You're just done. I've worked with specialists most of my life, so I expect that. It's unreasonable. I know it. I also don't want to be in a physical product business. And what I'm best at doesn't fit that model. So it's not, is the business good? It's, does the business match the founder? So what we're going to do in that course is you're going to work. You're not going to even begin to brainstorm a business until the middle of the second week of a three-week course. Everything's about you initially and what your resources are, your capabilities are, finding the value that John was talking about. And then once we do start analyzing businesses, Then in the third week, we're going to first red team the founder, which basically turn AI back on the founder and find all your flaws and the weaknesses and how they relate to this list of business opportunities you've created. Then we're going to red team the businesses themselves, call out and come down to the final part of the week, Thursday and Friday of the last week. You're going to have one primary business take a shot at and a backup if that doesn't work out. And your last day output is a 60-day launch plan, exactly where to start the next day. And you got 60 days to go. And I think it's a pretty hell of a good value for $50.
Yeah, it sounds like a good course.
Get on it, man. And if it ain't through Mike, I don't care if you buy my course or not, really. Well, I do. I like money. But I also want people successful. I want as many entrepreneurs in the world as possible. I want as many rich people in the world as possible. I want as many wealthy people, upper income people, whatever, because when you have that, you create a great deal more stability, because what's happened is the middle class has been destroyed. What it used to mean to be middle class isn't what it means today. Mm-hmm. Even by prorated income, when you look at it, you say, well, this person's in this, you know, like top 60% of income. Yeah, and can't buy a house, right? Like if they don't already have one, if they've never bought one before, they don't have some equity to roll and they're, you know, 29 years old and they have really solid income, can't afford a house, which is insane. And then you got all these people sitting on their house and go, my house is worth blah, 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 blah. Sell it, bitch.
Yeah.
Go ahead and prove it. Sell it. Yeah. So instead of selling it, what do? They lever it, and now they're really screwed. And even Trump said when they talked about, like, we need to lax building standards, let people build more housing, things like that, he said, but a lot of people would lose a lot of money if we did that. And what I just heard was, you know, I have a grandson named Braylon who's 15 years old, and I just heard, F your grandson. He doesn't need to buy a house in his mid-20s like you did. That's all I heard the orange man say when he said that.
Yeah, the building codes. That's a whole nother behemoth topic, though.
It's just stupid. Like, we have counties here with minimum square footage.
Yeah.
You can't build a house under 2,500 square feet. What are we doing? We're destroying our children's lives before they start.
And well, John was sleeping in a cot in a tiny room where he was producing his product to get his business off the ground.
Illegally.
Illegally.
Yeah, illegally. They were towing my truck. I had a truck that was at my mother's house. It was a 1984 Ford Ranger. And it hadn't been registered in years. It didn't run. So they were going to tow it. They were making a big deal about it at my mom's house. It was in the driveway. So we moved it to Oceanside and put it behind the shop in behind the alley. And they did the same thing. They came and they came after ticket, after ticket, after ticket. I said, well, I'll put it behind the gate. And they're like, no, you can't have it behind the gate either. You have to actually, I had to bring it up to where it would run and prove it would run, or sell it, or they were going to take that thing. They took it. Mm-hmm. They took it.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, we have this road program going on out here, right? So they're making they call it a four lane, but there's a big median in the middle. It looks like a highway and it has sidewalks. We don't have nobody. There's nowhere to walk here on sidewalks, but they're putting sidewalks in.
Are they putting a bike lane in?
Are they putting what?
A bike lane.
No, it's sidewalks. So they're
not also doing a bike lane.
So they're putting in all this new water pipe and they're putting in all this drainage pipe, but it looks like sewer. Now, what they've done in other places when they put sewer in, they don't make you connect, because I have six septic tanks on this system here, and as does everybody out here. But when you go to sell the property for the new owner to bring it to code, they'll make you attached to sewer and attached to city water. And then it's only a matter of time until they come around. I haven't heard of this in Tennessee. All over in San Diego in the rural areas, they would go in and make you tie in. And then it was only a couple of years till they'd come in and they'd put concrete in your septic and put concrete down your well pipe and fill your stuff in. And I've heard of that other places. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. It happened to my dad about 20 years ago, I guess.
Yep.
You know, it's not safe to have, you know, a septic and whatever. And like every house on that street had been that way for over 100 years.
Yeah. It was
somehow it was okay for 100 years. And then the expiration date hit and you had to throw it away. I guess
it was safe until we had the ability to bill you for it.
I'm shocked. If you ever watch some of the home reno shows, when they reno an older house, like, oh, all this has to be, the house is 50 years old. It's 60, 70 years old. That shit's been that way And if they didn't open that wall and no one looked at it, no one would have ever said anything. But now it has to be done. Or like when they say we want to add a window, oh, you can't add a window.
Yeah.
You already have as many windows as that side of the house is allowed to have.
Wait, there's a rule about how many windows you can have?
Yeah, especially in like suburban and urban environments. And the idea is that if a house gets on fire, it's a pathway for the fire to spread. But, you know, windows exist. And like having another one doesn't really change the calculus much on that.
And the old house was made of actual real 2x4s and 2x6s and actual wood, not yellow wood or pine wood or poplar, you know, whatever. It was actual real wood, dense wood.
Yeah. When my granddad sent me downstairs one year to the basement to put some nails in the floor joists because we had a really good deer hunt. We had like four deer and we usually only were processing one or two at a time. So he goes, put a couple more nails in there. And I got those ones that look like pegs. They like literally go into concrete. I couldn't get them in. I took an old mine drill. I had to drill holes in the oak joists to get a nail in them, and the drill was smoking. And the old man came down. I'll show you, you dumbass young kid. And he couldn't do it either. He's like, holy shit, this is hard. It's like trying to put it in granite.
Yep.
That's what we used to build houses out of. And what we build houses out of today is crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that bad back in the day, but it's had a long time to cure. Like, when they put it in, you could put a nail in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It was still hard, way harder than yellow pine, like John's saying. Yeah. But like, here's another problem with the way we build shit now, as far as houses, not just quality itself, but the mechanism. So what we don't do is build a house here and then build a house there, and then this guy buys a piece of land and his friends help him. No, we build subdivisions. And we build houses that have a life expectancy of about 18 to 25 years, unless you're on top of the maintenance every day. And most people have the money to do that because they're house poor. So what it means is we put this neighborhood in and everything starts going to shit about 16 to 18 years all at the same time. And the whole neighborhood goes to shit all at the same time. And if you've ever looked up, I can't remember the dude's name. I had him on from Strong Towns. That's one of the things that they point out is that we have created this disposable system. And the other retarded thing we've done is, though we haven't done enough of it already, like one of the reasons it's so expensive to put housing in now is if you have a cul-de-sac, there's a code, it's a federal code that everybody has to obey, that says in your county, whatever the largest fire truck you have is, has got to be able to turn around in the cul-de-sac. So you're talking like $1 million to put a cul-de-sac in before you build a house. Now, again, we have cul-de-sacs everywhere that don't do that. And, of course, the fire engine people love that, right? They go out and sell the biggest fire engine they can, right? And it's all the game of grab ass. All these codes are all by different industries that are all operating under self-interest, and they're collaborating to drive up the cost of what they sell.
Have you gone down the rabbit hole of how the building codes lead to houses that foster mold and what mold, like black mold, and what that does to your body? So, you know, that's something I've been really interested in lately, because how do you build a house that doesn't foster mold growth, right, while adhering to the codes? And they're not set up to do that for you. It's hard. Yeah. It's not impossible, but it's hard. And nobody would do that. It costs more money, right?
Yeah, we both know from Alan Booker, like the first thing you do is don't use drywall. Right? That's the first rule. Don't use drywall. It's like an incubator for mold. And what is everybody's house built out of?
Drywall.
Drywall. You know? And that really got hugely popular in the 50s after the war when they had the building boom. And, I mean, American craftsmen at the time were good at their trades. And when this new drywall thing came out, those guys got really fast and really, I don't know if you've ever seen videos like the old guys doing it, like when they're doing an arch and they're just using like just a hammer with the little axe thing on the back, and they're like completely done in what would take you, even if you're good, an hour. They do it all in 10 minutes and it's perfect looking. And so it became this really cheap way to build a house. And to be fair, I think at the time they didn't know they had a problem, but now like what bureaucrat or politician is going to admit, hey, for 80 years, we've been building you mold traps, right? So to fix the problem, you have to admit the problem, right? Like being a drug addict, and they're not going to do it. I bet you their freaking houses aren't built with that shit.
No, I mean, the remediation process is to pull the drywall, do all this stuff, and then put drywall back, and you never get all the mold out. And so it's already inoculated.
Yeah.
So then your fix was going to last, what, maybe 3 to 5 years?
Yeah.
It's an interesting, like I started going down that rabbit hole after hearing about, it was actually at your workshop last year when he was talking about, you know, insulative versus mass and the climate and all of those things for natural building practices. And I became aware my house is built really well for Arizona, but I'm not in Arizona. And then I started looking at what do the mold experts do? And even those guys are not necessarily experting very well. Like they don't know.
Very well.
They're not experting very well.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Chip and Joanna Gaines are right with all that shiplap and recycling it, right? Cause not only drywall, I got shiplap. I don't know.
Well, you look at the 150 year old homes, which have lath and plaster or something like that. Yeah. And they, like, there can be mold problems in those homes, especially.
But they're very seldom.
It's not something that was common. And now it's like everybody and their brother has a mold problem.
Yeah.
Because
is that because everything is completely Tyvek'd and airtight, right? You go back 50 years, that wasn't a thing. You had cross ventilation windows that actually opened.
It's part of it, John. But like what Alan says is like, if you test brand new drywall, you'll find mold spores already in the drywall. All it takes is any amount of moisture then to cause those spores to start reproducing. And sooner or later, you will have some moisture. Where, like, I remember this old-ass house we used to drink beer in and shit right by our high school that was abandoned probably 30 years before that. And it had all the shiplap walls with the plaster and all. And we would tear shit off the wall and shit to see what was in it. And it was bone dry when it was all open.
Yeah.
Right. Like it was pretty amazing. And what we ended up doing is the old windows had the weights, the cast iron weights. So we yanked all of those out of there because there were no windows anyway. And then we took those to the scrapyard for money. But all I'm saying is like, and the way that was built was to me today, I'm immensely impressed with how structurally sound a building that had been abandoned for 30 years was. And it was so bad 30 years ago when it was abandoned that people abandoned it. And it was still standing there. I'm sure it's gone now. That's another 40 years almost.
Shit. Nicole, Don Gorham had somebody come out and do a bunch of tests in one of their basement or something for mold and then went through the whole process. She has somebody that's really good local to her for that if you ever need to have that tested or, you know, talk to her about how she handled that.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I will talk to her. That's the theme in my life right now. So.
Yeah.
Yep. What are you pointing at, Jack?
I was muting the mic because the F-35s are buzzing the tower again here.
They don't want you to share us.
Yeah.
Okay, who wants to talk about fake beef coming from other countries?
It's not fake. I mean, you could be opposed to it, but it's not fake. It's most of it's coming from Europe. It's probably better than ours. I just covered this too, though. What they're really bringing in is lean trim. And the reason they're doing that is because we feedlot our beef. And so we have more fat than we need for our ground. So mostly what they're bringing in is to supplement ground and drive down the price of ground beef because ground's gotten stupid. And here's my prediction. They'll bring it in. The all the people in the chain, except the rancher, will make more money and the price will go down maybe 10 cents a pound.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
fake.
That tracks.
A lot of speculation that it's the wild horses. BLM says there's 3,700 wild horses each year. The conspiracy theorists or the highest number I could find was 20,000. A horse doesn't put out near the weight that a cow does.
No.
And even if they ground them up at 20,000. And then everybody that's up in arms over it, they were killing those under Biden's administration killed a bunch of them. Obama's administration. You have a bunch of wild horses with no predators, and they're not, you know, fixed or anything. So they just continue to breed and breed and breed and breed. So they continue to reproduce themselves. At least that's my understanding of it from what the brief pieces that I read.
Yeah.
I'm going to just get us a number just to make John's point a little stronger because he's okay. We consume in our country about 14 billion pounds, 7 million tons, not of beef, of ground beef. 20,000 horses wouldn't move the needle. It's not a rounding error in that. Mm-mm. And that's where a lot of these conspiracy theories fall apart. Like on the surface, if you don't think about math, they seem to make a lot of sense. But if you just do the math, how many horses would it take to represent 2% of that number? it ain't 20,000 like John, you know, John's saying right there. Like, it'd be the top number, 20,000 horses. It's a lot of meat for a town, for a county, for a country with 340 million people that consume what was that number again? 7 million tons? 7 million tons of ground beef? No. And yeah. I went down that real quick as soon as that showed up. I was like, why are we doing this? And here's the thing. Like, we grow a lot of grass-fed beef in this country. It all goes to Europe. It goes to Japan. It goes to Korea. And people say we can't do it because of the regulations. Our grass-fed can. So we export our best beef. And then if we want to sell grass-fed in the United States, we bring it in from Australia and Brazil and Argentina. So the whole thing is just ass backwards.
Well, it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. Well, it makes sense to them.
That's interesting what Olivia says there. She says that we actually sell it to Canada and the Canada sells it to China because we don't sell it to China, right, because of the tariffs. We know where it's going.
She's talking about horse. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't
know a little bit about horses.
We might. I mean, I think it's illegal to consume horse in the United States.
No, Obama changed that. We can eat horse in the United States.
We should be able to eat a horse if we want to. I don't want to eat a horse.
If it was on the menu, I'd order it.
If it's already dead, I mean, I'd try it. You don't know if you like something until you try it. But
we looked up on the last podcast because Brandle said, you know, we're probably using these things to make glue out of like we always have. But we actually stopped doing that. We don't use horses to make glue. I believe that it is used possibly for pet food, for dog food.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, those are horses that are at the end of life usually when they do that. But I think you're talking about like the Mustangs and all. And there's only so much population that they're on very brittle land that can support. And there's not really any predators.
You can adopt them. Like for anybody that's upset about them, you can buy them for between $20 and $50. You're going to pay way more transporting it than and I don't know how real that is. Those are the numbers that I found though.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's people giving horses away. There's two kinds of people that have horses. There's two kinds of people with horses. Horses, people that are completely broke and have nothing because they have horses.
Yeah.
And people that have so much money that they can have horses. And there's really not an in between there.
The old saying about a boat is a floating hole into which you throw money.
Yeah.
A horse is a walking hole into which you throw money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they don't make
gas prices are so high. I'm just going to get a horse because it would be cheaper.
I saw that too. Thug Nasty.
Horse has never owned a horse.
There's a guy named Thug Nasty. He's an MMA fighter. I like that guy. I think his name's Bryce. He's kind of a homesteader. And his theory, which I think he really believed, was they're killing the horses off so that we can't use them for transportation when they shut the grid down.
Yeah.
Oh, we will figure out transportation if they.
We will figure. I would put it this way: let's say that horses never existed. Somehow there was like this little continent that, even with all our modern technology, we never found it. And then we found it today, and we found horses on it. You know what we wouldn't do? We would never ride horses. There'd be no horse races. Like we would not use them as draft animals. We would not even do a thing with them today. If we didn't have the history of doing it, and the reason we did it at the time was of all the beasts that were there, they were the best suited for the thing we needed. They were trainable. They, you know, once you form a relationship, they kind of have a relationship back with you. They're a community animal, which makes them want to be like when you take them away from other horses, they want to be with you. They don't run away. Like that's the only reason we did it. If there had been an alternative, we would have used it because they kill you. They bite you. I mean, they're dangerous.
They try to kill themselves every time you turn around.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I went horseback ride out of place, and I'm standing, and this horse I thought was cool bit me in the freaking back just because it wanted to amuse itself. I turned around and I punched him, which didn't really do much, but then he was my buddy again after I
whacked him. That's the thing. Like especially where you're paying to ride a horse, like those horses. As much as they try to make them gentle and all that, that the only time I've been bitten by horses is in that situation because they're grumpy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want
to
do it.
They're like, some yahoo is going to be on my back. They're going to be hard to deal with because they don't know how to ride and they just bite.
Yeah. Jose said the Glock family likes horses for some reason. For people that don't know, they deal in horse semen. Very, very expensive. Oh. Expensive. They've actually made more money on that than the gun company.
Wow. Horse semen. I'm in the wrong business, man.
Yep. Goes way back.
There's still time, Jack. There's still time.
I still hope.
Yeah, they're too close to retirement to switch over to horse semen.
I've got the tools that you need.
who gets that job? You know,
I just saw it and I thought,
the new guy.
It works great to hold arrows in the tube that they use to collect it. It's perfect out on the ground to put your field points in when you're shooting targets.
As long as it's unused.
Oh, I'm sure it's used.
Billy, you're the new guy. Take the giant horse condom.
That's right.
And go get us a gallon.
Yep.
Jeez.
I just find it interesting that John's been researching how to buy a wild Mustang and what the transport might be. Does that mean by October 10th you're going to have one running around the property?
Oh, hell no. No, I don't have – we don't grow enough grass here.
You'll have a zebra before a horse.
Yeah, I would definitely have a zebra before a horse.
My neighbors have one. He's an asshole too.
Yeah, some of them are. They bond. Like if you get them when they're young, they'll have a person. Yeah. That, just like parrots, you know. Parrots like a certain person best. What about Hee-Haw, the little miniature dog?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, that was sad.
Is
that the same cop that shot out a handcuffed person because an acorn fell on his car? And if not, does that mean we have a bigger problem, right? Like,
you mean there's more than
one? How do you shoot? It was like a baby donkey. There's a picture of it wearing a diaper in the house. He said he was in fear for his life, and some retards tried to actually defend it. They're like, have you ever seen a donkey that's kept to, you know, to protect a flock or whatever? They use them as guard animals.
It's like your donkey.
My Malinois is bigger than that donkey.
And I don't know. I don't know all the details.
I'm just saying compost piles get to 160 plus degrees, and you know, if you put somebody in there, they might disappear. I don't know. I mean,
you've seen Joel Salatin. Joel Salatin put whole cow carcasses in there, and it just breaks it down in the compost pile. I don't know all the details of it. Like, they're showing you the cutesy little pictures of it in a diaper.
Yeah.
I don't know how long ago that was versus now. They showed the girl
next to it when it's dead, and it's, I mean, you could tiny. Pick it up. It's
yeah, so he tased it and yeah. then killed it. I don't know what the separation of time is between those two happening. But pretty wild. I mean, that's what, you know, people are like, when is America going to stand up and shut these politicians and these bureaucrats down? The answer is never. I mean, if you guys didn't stand up when they killed the squirrel and the raccoon, those people had.
I'm just thinking we shouldn't be giving badges and guns and tasers to people with 84 IQs. Like, that's a bad idea. But I guess in Polk County, Georgia, that's the standard.
But in contrast, there was the guy with the sword.
Guy with the sword.
Yeah, shoot him.
Yeah, they shot him. He did. The problem is going to be the two follow-up shots.
While he's on the ground not moving, yeah, that was...
SWAT officer got out of the vehicle, second guy out of the vehicle or out of a different vehicle, I couldn't tell. And he said, step aside or something to that fact. Yeah. He came up, gone. Heard it click off. He hit him right in the head. You hear trigger reset. And then he shoots him again. You hear trigger reset, and he shoots him again twice while he's on the ground. So that's the problem. It was a standoff.
Because I'm thinking once you have a bullet in your head and you're on the ground, you're pretty well not a threat anymore.
Yeah, they say the sword was in a sheath. He got out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Officer immediately shot him. The engagement had been going on for about 30 minutes. I don't know if they were pursuing him. A lot of priors. Maybe they knew who he was or what his past was. But he is definitely deceased.
I think the world's probably better without him in it. But
they said there was a female in the back seat. Some are saying hostage. Some are saying he knew her. Don't know. Haven't heard. They're kind of quiet about it all.
Both of those can be true too, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of hostage situations, the hostage does know the person. It makes it easier to take them.
Or yeah, a lot of people
they weren't
like
a hostage until things went kinetic, and all of a sudden they become a hostage, right?
Yeah. Look how many parents use their kids as hostages.
Oh, there was another case, right? You know, while this Lacey Clancy shit's going on, there was a woman, I think in New York, that shot her kid in the face and killed her kid so that the father would never have custody. And her statement when she was arrested was, it was worth it.
That's a lot of the child support stuff. I mean, that's the whole thing in the divorce. Everything was good enough that you had a child with this person, but as soon as the lawyers get involved, man, it's make each other's life as miserable as absolutely possible.
Well, Shakespeare said, first, kill all the lawyers. Right? There's one of his plays. I don't remember which one. It might have been The Tempest. First, kill all the lawyers. And I think that's good advice from the 1600s. Still applies today. I mean, stuff like that, you know, as a father and a grandfather, makes me want like 18 feet of water and like 6 foot of chain, 2 cinder blocks. You can do the math. Really clear water, too.
And now for something completely different.
Oh.
What do you think about the Fold credit card coming out finally?
So it's actually been out a while. I have one, but I've never seen it. They were supposed to send me one, and it never showed up. I asked for another one, and it's still not here, and they said they sent it. But I do have the number. I mean, I can use it as a credit card. I think it's fine. As long as you treat it like any credit card and you treat it like, you know, you get reward miles or whatever and you immediately pay it. You earn Bitcoin back with it, obviously. I think it's 1.5%. So it's a great way to stack Bitcoin tax-free because rebates are not taxable. So it's, you know, but it's also a variable interest rate credit card. If you carry a balance on it, it's going to eat your ass. So don't do that. So to me, credit cards are for people with discipline. If you don't have discipline, you do not need to have a credit card to pay for your you know, random stuff with. But if you're just making 2 transactions instead of one, like I paid the bill with the credit card, and then I paid the credit card bill immediately, which you can do very easily, yeah, do it. Go ahead.
You know, we talked about a series of terrible things today so far. And none of the three of us are changing anything we do in our day-to-day life because of any of those topics. And I see in the comments people bringing things more things up, right?
Yeah.
So this discussion is because we're making fun of what's going on. It's not because you need to be alarmed that the world's a shitty place. I mean, it's good to be situationally aware. But also, John is going to get off of this live stream today, probably eat lunch and work. And Jack is going to work, and I'm going to do my things. I don't know. I felt compelled to say that. Like, it's interesting to look at these things. It's interesting to learn from these things. But if you're letting it affect your life and making your own world better, you're taking it the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah, don't let the darkness invade your light, man, you know. And what you'll find is the more you're building, the more you're working, the more you're developing. And it's not just about having a lot of stuff or having wealth. It's the building in itself that actually keeps you focused and positive. Like, it's very similar to what John talks about with, you know, physical exercise. Like, if you're having a bunch of problems in your head, start pushing some weights. You're not going to think about freaking anything, you know, while you're planking or while you're bench pressing, except that one thing. Or like, I just had my grandson out fishing, and, you know, I'm trying to get him in that zone where he can separate himself from the moment because he's a pitcher and pitching is very much in your head. And he had that shark on for like 25 minutes. And I asked him, I said, what were you thinking about other than that fish for those 25 minutes? He goes, absolutely nothing. Right? Absolutely nothing. Like, you're being pushed to the absolute edge of what you're capable of. And that can be done with creativity and, you know, business building or something like that, or learning. It can be done physically, and probably doing all of those things together is one of the best ways to stay motivated and happy. And if you think about it, like, the darkest thing a person probably can do is take their own life. And when people do that is when they stop thinking that tomorrow can be better than today. Like, as long as you think you have the ability to make tomorrow better than today, you're probably not going to off yourself. But even the most rational person, like if you have a terminal illness and you know, like, I got 2 weeks left and it's all going to be pain and misery, you may not want them to do it. But you can understand when they eat a bottle of morphine, right? Like, you get it. And it's because I have no hope. So if you want to have a positive life, then you have to be actively doing something that you can look at and say, I'm building, I'm creating. You know, it's why the socialists are all miserable. They don't create anything. They just co-opt it. They just take it. Marx himself wrote this poem when he was really young about how I am the destroyer, right? The Marxist philosophy, you know what Marxist philosophy was? we can't actually build this, so let the capitalists build it first and then we'll take it. Right? Like that mindset of creation, I think, is the most important thing, no matter what it is you're creating.
Yeah, and we are a great source of that. I think that might be why I find hard work fun. Like, we'll be in the trenches of cleaning out the worst septic overflow we've ever had or something. Like, something completely awful. Like, objectively awful. And we'll dig in, we'll get it done, and I'll literally be joyful about it.
Sure.
Because I know we're able to solve this. I know we can lean into it and get it done. And at the end, it's done. And I don't know. It's when I see some of the comments of, you know, the hopelessness, I'm just like, come on, man. Like, that's going to get you nowhere. Like, wasting time on that perspective is dragging you down.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, if you learn nothing from any of us, like, start hopping on John's live at night if you're feeling at night. He's not going to pull a punch, but he's also not going to. I mean, I've never seen you, John, just be like, yeah, it's horrible. Go, you know, hopeless. Go just rot in the corner, you know.
Well, most of the people regurgitate things that they're not involved in. I'm sure everybody's money is tight. Everybody's money is tighter than it was two, 3 years ago. But most of the stuff we're talking about, we only know because this thing told us, right? And then we proceeded. You watch that and it just gives you more of that. If you were watching Puppies and Kittens, it'll show you more Puppies and Kittens.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
What I think's killed people's motivation is that the message is a class warfare message just to make you pick a side. And it's every, you know, your problems are everybody's fault but yours. And you know, if your life's miserable, that's a pretty easy thing to embrace. And you give up. And then if it's not my fault, then it's also not my responsibility is the way that people look at it. Since somebody else messed it up, somebody else should fix it. You know, even when somebody else messed it up, guess what? They're not going to fix it. And they're probably not qualified to fix it because they're the one that messed it up in the first place. Like, you don't call the arsonist to put out the fire. You call the fireman to put out the fire, not the arsonist. But like, the government caused all this misery. We should get the government to fix it.
Yeah.
Bro, like, you just handed matches and gas cans to the arsonist is all you did. You gotta make it happen for yourself. But like, one of the great things you could do is, like, a great show to watch, if you watch it through the right lens, the show that's on, it's like History or Discovery or whatever, The Food That Built America, right? And it sounds totally unrelated to this, but all these great brands that now employ, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, they were all built between the Civil War, through the Great Depression, and into freaking World War II. That's when they were built. So fortunes were built in the Great Depression, and a lot of people don't know there was a big depression between the Civil War and 1900, and there was a big depression right before World War I. So there were three, not recessions, depressions in that period, and your brands you know and may love or hate were built in that time. Bird's Eye, the frozen food company, built in that time. Post cereal, Kellogg's cereal, built in that time.
Hershey.
Hershey's chocolate, built in that time, right? Like, yeah. I can keep going. And it's a really cool show because the way they do it, they show, like, the two direct competitors of the time and the business and how that they competed with each other. And it just changes your perspective to look at it. And I think they've done a bunch of other ones, like the Toys That Built America and stuff. And then you should also realize, like, people were building in the worst of times. And that allowed them to thrive when things got better. And things always get better. Everything's a cycle.
John Dowie Farms there. Yeah. Got here late. Are we talking about commies? Commies aren't people. So I don't know how depression works with that species.
Have you seen the little cartoons going around where there's a dude on a scooter and he time travels and he ends up in all these places? Like, he ended up, like, in front of who was the guy that worked with the Cubans that everybody was? Che Guevara. And he tells them all the things that they do today in the name of Marxism, and Guevara just shoots them.
Yeah.
Right. So today he ended up in front of Pinochet. And Pinochet's like, I'll help you get home. I have the perfect transportation method. And the next thing you see is him falling out of a helicopter into the ocean. That sounds like something Dowie would like.
Yeah, it does sound like something Dowie would like.
The question I have for Dowie is, are you coming to Texas this year, bro? We miss you when you're not here, man.
He never comes.
He comes occasionally, like once every 4 years or some shit.
Yeah. I don't think he's coming this year. He will come this year.
He has a kid now. He's growing up really fast. And I think, like, that's another thing I think that's a problem is we're not having kids.
Yeah.
And I think especially with men, like, I don't know how many men I've seen that, you know, they're getting quite a bit younger than me. And so they have their first kid. And their entire outlook on life 1 to 2 years into that journey is dramatically different. John Dowie's still I'm fucking guys to come down and take my shit like that. He's still got that sass in him, but his outlook on life is totally different. Absolutely different. And if we don't have that impetus for change, men don't tend to change. And I think there's also a lot of women that, like, they have been sold this idea and then they regret it. Like, Dorothy was watching some shit today and it was like these women that have dolls, like grown ass women, and they walk around with these like very lifelike dolls to fill that void. They have conventions. Some of them like wear fucking a doll. Some of them literally, like, when they're going to get a new doll, they wear like the fake pregnancy shit. Like, and it gets bigger over time, and then eventually they take it away and they have the doll. So Nicole's about to have a freaking meltdown. She thinks I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. This is real.
I don't think you're kidding, but I'm like, literally, the foster system exists and needs good families.
Oh, no, man.
Like, you could have a kid if you don't have a kid.
But you always have a baby, and when you want to go out and dance in the disco, you just throw it in the closet. I mean, I think that's like what they're doing. Like, there were these pets when my kid was young, like, and there was like a Pokemon or some shit.
Tamagotchi.
Yeah, those things, right? And like, parents were like, "Hey, here, you can have this because it's, you know, it doesn't shit in the house." And I think it's the same philosophy combined with a certain level of mental illness, lots of antidepressants, SSRI inhibitors, the whole thing. I think another thing that we have, and, you know, Nicole's different, so I, you know, I'm not being offensive toward women here, but Nicole's like a unicorn. Like, if all women like were like Nicole, we wouldn't have this discussion. But a lot of them, they have been sold this idea that you have to have a job and a career and you don't need no man and blah, 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 blah. And so they got everything they wanted. Women actually, for all the gender gap shit, women compete and outcompete men for high paying jobs in the tech sector and shit like that, administrative roles and shit like that now. And they're all miserable. And no one wants to say, hey, maybe you were lied to. Maybe it actually is not fulfilling to go, you know, process administrative bullshit every day, 40 hours a week. Maybe that's not fulfillment. But then again, we're back to the same thing with the bureaucrats and the housing. Like, is anybody ever going to admit that's in power that, hey, we fucked shit up for 70 years? No. And I think a lot of women would be happier if they could stay home. I don't think all of them. I don't think it's ever been the case either. But like, if you are a girl right now in high school and you say you're 16, you're a sophomore or like a junior, and your teacher says, what do you want to be when you grow up? You say, I think I just want a home and to raise a family. What response do you think that girl's going to get? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be positive.
No, the response she'll get is she needs a backup plan in case her husband leaves her.
Which leads right to that becoming your primary plan, right?
Well, it's a mindset. So
yeah.
Anytime you go, you control your perspective of how things are, and reality will reality itself. But that perspective influences how people around you react. It influences who you choose to be with in that particular situation. Like, your evaluation for who makes a good partner is completely different. If you're like, I want to be a stay-at-home mom, and I need to have a backup plan at all times because he could leave me at any moment. Well, the kind of man you may accept in your life at that point is one who is willing to leave you at any moment. You know, like, that has, I don't feel like I need to,
or you're willing to leave at any,
like,
moment.
It's just, you know, like, if anybody knows me, that doesn't mean that doesn't happen, but
yeah,
like, shit happens and people die and all of that stuff. And if you're a capable person who is pursuing the best things that you should be pursuing, and for you, what you're doing is focusing on the family, taking care of your kids and whatever, and your husband dies, you have the skills it takes to fill the gap that needs to be filled at that point. It's, you know, it's not going to be easy. That's not going to be easy. But if you're a functional person, then you will be able to fill the gap. And, you know, or if you die and the, you know, and it's a traditional relationship and he needs to figure out how to take care of the kids, he's going to figure it out. That's yeah. One of the benefits of having two parents is if one dies, there's another parent.
And you can't replace a parent with insurance, but you can make that parent's job a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
And when you're young in childbearing years, like even doing like 20-year term is going to get you through parenthood. And, you know, being able to like, if it's the guy, like you have a relationship that's more traditional, more like 60s, 70s, where mom stays home mostly, maybe works part-time, dad is full-time worker. And you think, well, if mom dies, like that sucks, it's horrible, but dad has the same income and it can afford everything. Yeah, but who's looking after the kids? Who's picking the kids up from school? Who's doing all the mom stuff? And that dad can come down, be a single parent and try to do the best job he can and keep the income in, but having some money to be able to get some help, right? Or at least having enough of a buffer to, like, you know, as long as you can make the deal with your employer, and a lot of them will do it, like take a month off unpaid to kind of try to put life back together for your kids. And so I think like insurance has to play a role, even if both sides work. But what a lot of things like a lot of couples I've seen is they have insurance on dad, but since mom doesn't have much income, they don't have insurance on her. I think that is a huge dumb mistake because it's super cheap when you're 25, 30 years old.
I mean, Amanda was a single mom before she got together with John.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked her ass off. That's what she did.
She still works her ass off.
I know. I mean, that's Amanda, but
yeah,
it was, you know, so it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's all excuses. And I don't know why this month, like, excuses are really bothering the crap out of me. Cause it's all I'm hearing is excuse. I can't because this is hard. This is why I'm like, yeah, it's hard.
So Amanda's first husband died in a car accident. And she says all the time when we're talking about welfare and stuff, she said it used to be, you know, you were embarrassed to go use those tickets at the register. So you were very cognizant of, you know, you did it as quickly as possible. And now it's all concealed. And I say that because Florida just passed a law or is about to pass some legislature or something basically saying they have what's called welfare cash. So you get food assistance. I think you get a batch of food somewhere, but then they also have welfare cash where they just give them a debit card. And on the debit card, they can buy pretty much whatever they want. So Florida has just came out and said, you can no longer use your welfare cash for tattoos, vape, alcohol, pornography, amusement parks, or movies, which means that up until now, they were
using it for those things. Yeah. Yeah. Any rule always means somebody did it before the rule or you wouldn't have the rule in the first place, especially when it sounds like that. It sounds so ridiculous. Like if you pull up to a place and it's like there's an automated gate. It says, do not climb on gate. Somebody climbed on the gate or that sign wouldn't be there. Or enough people climbed on other gates that the gate company started making that sign part of their delivery. Like somebody did. When you read the thing on the iron, it says, do not iron clothes on body. How do you think that got there? When it's just not to use your toaster in the bathtub? Yeah.
Brian, good generator show the other day, man. That was good. That was you that had a bureaucrat come to your house wanting to interview kids, right? What has anything more come of that?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the backstory on that. While we wait for Ryan to answer, a census worker came to his home, and it was not like the census. It was like a random, I don't know, rural analysis.
Claimed to be a cop.
Yeah, and they claimed to be a cop. They said they could, and they wanted to interview his children alone without parents there about things, and he was not having any of it. And he sent him off, but, like, the guy threatened, like, basically threatened him by claiming to be a cop even though he isn't. And
that's a felony, by the way.
Which is a felony, and then so Ryan talked about it on the internet. That video blew up because everybody's like, yeah, that's not okay. And he had the guy's card and his name, but that, you know, they can't just barge into your house.
No, I'd press charges. I would press charges that because the act of doing that in of itself is a felony. Remember the offluenza kid that the guy lives like a couple miles from my house? The one that said he killed a bunch of people. He was like 15. His parents bought him like a Ford Raptor. He had his own rental house they paid for. They bought him all the booze. He got all boozed up, and he killed people standing on the side of the road. And the defense was he was too privileged to know better. And his defense mostly worked. Like, he got off super light. His dad, about 2 years ago, got rid up on a felony. And all he did was he pulled over at an accident scene. And he was there to help, which is fine. And then he told the people at the scene he was an off-duty officer from Fort Worth. He was over in Irving. So Irving PD shows up, and they're like, yeah, there's already an off-duty officer here. So the, you know, Irving cop walks up to him. And at that point, had he said, no, you must have misunderstood me, he probably would have got away with it. But he keeps playing it up. Now, a cop talking to a guy that's not a cop takes about 3 seconds to be like, dude, you're not a cop. Where's your badge? I left it at home. Oh, yeah, we don't do that. Let me see your driver's license. I left my driver's license at home. And the guy looks in his car and his billfold sitting there. He goes, don't you have your license in there? Oh, yeah, I forgot. And he ended up done up on a felony. And that was also like what this dude did is a lot more nefarious.
Yeah. Well, and then claiming, you know, the whole idea that they can interview your kids. It was some sort of a public health interview. That sounds like phishing at that point.
Yeah.
I'm even not
associated
phishing, like,
with the government.
I don't want anybody remotely. I mean, I don't have kids, but I wouldn't want anybody remotely interviewing my children about me there.
Yeah. Or who knows what that guy's fishing for, or is he a pedophile? I mean, and how many times did it work before that? Because he seemed pretty damn sure when he was talking to Ryan that it was just going to go how he wanted it to go. Yeah. So it's obviously worked in the past.
Well, even if you're a cop, where's your warrant? You don't have one? Fuck out of here. Well, I'll go get one.
Well, then go get it.
Then go do that. Well, we can make this harder, and I guess we're going to. Like, don't ever be intimidated by people. Like, now, don't do the sovereign citizen nonsense and, like, start lecturing cops about all your rights on the side of the road. That will not go your way. But when they want entrance into your property, no warrant, no entrance. You know, there are times when they can do it anyway. But if they're telling you that you need to do it, it's not that, or they would have already done it. Like, usually when they say, like, if you don't do this, then we're going to do that. If they had what they say they had, they would have already done that.
They would have showed you. Where's the warrant? Oh, here it is.
Here it is, right? Or we can get a warrant.
You're like, okay, I need to call my lawyer.
Yep.
Hold on. Yeah.
And just one thing to know about that. In 90%+ of cases, they do not have to wait for your lawyer when they have a warrant. They can go straight in. But you can call your lawyer, right? And you can, you know, start taking mitigation action. But once they have a warrant, they can pretty much do whatever they want within, you know, certain boundaries.
Don't open the door.
Yeah, that's when you shut up and say, I'm calling my lawyer.
Yep.
Shut up. Yep.
If you're being questioned about anything, like, you know, if some guy knocks an old lady over and runs around the corner and they're like, where'd he go? He went that way. Yeah, that's fine. But when you're being interviewed by the police, you're being interrogated whether you know it or not.
Ryan says he told him he didn't need a warrant because he had more authority than the police.
When he said he was the police.
But he also said he was the police.
There is no authority that allows a person onto your property without a warrant unless you have something like extended circumstances where, like, they hear somebody getting killed or something. Even that bullshit about the game warden could just come to your house, like, no, shut up, stop saying that. That's dumb.
Well, they were. I mean, that just got changed. That was this county right here, Benton County, and that shit took almost 10 years for that to get changed going through court. Like, when that case took effect here, when it finally went through here, which was probably just 6 months ago maybe, had happened not long after I moved here. That was, I know the guy whose property they were on when they did that shit.
Yeah. There, you know, show me in the Constitution, state or federal, where it says there's an exception for people that hunt deer. It's not there, then off you go, right? Like, so maybe they were playing that angle, but there's no law or code anywhere that says that.
They were coming on private property.
Yeah.
Trespassing, coming over fences, over gates. And putting game cameras up, people find game. And it doesn't say Tennessee Valley Authority or Fish and Wildlife. They just see these things. So they take them down. And then a detective shows up and wants to arrest. Just like if the police department puts a tracker on your car and you take the tracker off, they arrest you over that shit. That's a whole nother charge. You don't know who shit that is usually.
See, that's not the myth I'm talking about, though, John. I'm talking about the myth that, like, you have a chest freezer and a game warden can just walk in and check your freezer because they're a game warden. That's not
because people go along. People have heard it so many times. They just figure they just go along with it. How many of these shows do you see where law enforcement comes up to the door and, you know, we're looking for your kid. He was on a motorcycle. My kid's not here. Will you open the door? No, just don't open the door. Don't even acknowledge that they're there.
Yep. 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 I saw one video, a guy, you know, self-videoed it, and the cops at his door saying, we need to ask you some questions. And he's like sitting there drinking a beer. He's like, yeah, I'm not coming out. If you have questions for me, you can leave them in writing and I'll go over with my attorney and we'll decide if we want to answer them or not. Well, we need you to come out. We're the police. Yes, yes. He's just drinking his beer like, yeah, I'm aware that you're the police. That's we can come in anyway. And he's like, if you could come in anyway, you would have already come in anyway. And
Joel Salatin said every time an FDA person or some inspector shows up, they want to come on the property and they want to look around. And he's like, I don't understand what you're saying. Send it to me in writing. And he said that usually these guys are making their own cases and trying to make a name for themselves.
Yep.
Their higher ups don't even know they're there.
Yep.
Go away. You know, send me something in writing so that I can have my lawyer look at it. And that's usually the end of it. It never goes anywhere beyond that. No, you do not have permission to come on my property.
That's what I like about perimeter barbed wire topped fencing.
Yeah.
Like you're not getting on. I wouldn't try to climb over that because by the time you do, you're going to get bit. Right. Like that's what's going to happen. And we've had like the census last time I did the census, the dude was at the gate and we have a number out there to call. So he calls and like Dorothy's like, it's the census guy. I'm like, give it to me. I'm like, you can, he's, well, I can leave it here and you fill it out. I said, my time is $500 an hour, minimum 2 hours. So when you leave it with $1,000 check payable to my name, which I'm sure, you know, I'll fill it out for you. Otherwise get fucked. Well, you have to do this legally. I'm like, go get the sheriff and tell him to arrest me. Like, call the sheriff's office and say, you're trying to get on my property and I told you to get fucked. And they'll send a deputy out. By the way, the deputy that they send out, his name's Mike, and he stood up for my son at his confirmation. So good luck with that. Go fuck yourself. And I hung the phone up.
During the Obama administration.
He stood out there for like 20 more minutes, like pacing. Like, I'm just not doing it. You can't make me do it.
During the Obama administration, they would work their unemployment and employment numbers by they would hire you on Monday and terminate you on Friday and rehire you on Monday. And a bunch of what they were talking about with that was census. They were hiring people that needed employment and they'd hire them weekly. And those are census people. They're not badged. They're not put through class. They're census takers. They don't have any power. Yeah.
They have no authority at all. You know, like, if you want to participate in the census, you know, they'll fill the form out when you tell them whatever. And you can do that if you want to. I didn't want to. And what I was not doing is letting them on my property. It's just what? Well, we can come back. You're going to get the same fucking answer, you know?
The other thing.
And the guy said something like, you know, I think I can get through this gate. I said, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. Sure, you can read what the sign says. It's not good.
Yeah, I remember they came here and they're like, I could just ask your neighbors. I'm like,
go ahead.
You should go do that. They all also have perimeter. I don't think they got anything here. Like everybody has, all my neighbors have perimeter fence.
I would there too.
Huh?
They came around here probably a year ago, less than a year, wanting to look at new sheds, new buildings, right? So that they can tax me. I go, you're not allowed to tax me on those. They're not permanent fixtures.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, can we look? I go, no, you cannot look around.
No.
I go, you're already here. And he says, well, I'm going to go measure these. Will you go? I go, no, I'm not interested in participating in anything you're doing. You've already raised the property taxes. You've got the road. And I go, I know it's not you, but you are part of the system and I blame you for this. He goes, well, we could just fly it with a drone. I go, you already flew it with a drone. That's how you know they're here.
Yeah.
You can't see them. You've already done that.
Yeah.
Like, so what are we doing? And I said, you know, there's a lot of talk in the town. I'm surprised somebody hasn't physically harmed you. You go to buildings where people are building stuff on private property. You walk in their house. You harass their wife. You ask a bunch of questions of their children. I'm literally surprised somebody has not physically hurt you. Like, you have this coming. Like, it's going to happen.
Especially where you live.
Yeah.
You know,
like that's sooner or later, like that is the like, talk. He's done it to several people.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, don't you
work?
I go, don't you live past the water tower, right? You're right out there past those, past all the soy fields, right? That's your house on the corner. And then he realizes, oh shit, he knows where I live. Well, fuck, yeah. You know where I live. Yeah. Like the whole tone kind of changed at that point. I go, yeah. you guys charge me for contents in a building that hasn't been occupied in 10 years, but you charge me property tax on all that shit sitting in there. I use it as a storage. You don't charge anybody else for a storage unit, but I get charged. Like it's just always like you don't do any, there is nothing you have done for me other than cost me more money.
Yeah.
And that's every single interaction, every single interaction with anybody from town government. You just cost me money.
It's amazing. They do believe they have power too. Some of them that they just don't have. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they generally people like just accept it. And so when somebody's like, no, then the brain seizes up a little bit. Like, I don't understand why you're saying no, because I can. That's my favorite answer. I don't understand why you're saying no, because I can.
No is not something people have learned to take. Like, yeah. We have taught our kids that no is not a valid answer. It's not okay to say no, and that means then that somebody cannot say no to you. Like, it's a cultural thing at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a social conditioning thing is what it is.
No is a perfectly legitimate answer and should be. We should just accept it. Like, I don't even need to know why in a lot of cases.
Hey, I was taught that nobody
knows. No, I'm not, whatever. Okay, great. Thanks for the clarity.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
It's just about somebody enforcing their will over you. They think they have some power, and they're going to show you, and they're going to make your life miserable over it because you didn't give them what they wanted.
Have you ever had a situation like that, John, where like you have somebody else with you and you're done with the conversation and they're standing there and then you just start having a completely different conversation as though that person doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah,
that is a great way to handle it because you're not being rude. You're not being insulting. You've said what you had to say. I've said no, you're not getting in. I was standing here talking to this person before you got here. And when you do that, they feel this big, right? They feel like ant size because no longer important. And then I loved what was Val Kilmer's line in Tombstone. You may go now. Mm-hmm. Like you just like after about 45 seconds to a minute of talking to your other person, you look over like, oh, you may go now. And the nadge just shrink when you do that to somebody. But they have, like you said, they have it coming. They have a hell of a lot worse than that coming, some of these people.
Yeah, getting charged for government school tax when you don't have kids there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's the 2,500 square foot thing, right?
Yeah, that's why they did it.
Because that's more affluent people, so they can tax them greater. It breaks it up, right? If you can't have small places on your property, outbuildings and such, then you can't have your family members, right? That means they also have to have another home. And if you want them near you, you have to buy another 25 foot.
It's not that bad here. If it's on the same property, if you don't subdivide it, you have your primary residence has to be 2,500 square feet. You can build other things.
Cool.
But it's still, I mean, more and more counties are doing it. The only reason I didn't even know about it, there was a piece of land for sale just like 10 miles from us. It was a really beautiful piece of land, but there's no buildings on it. And it's one county over, Johnson County, I think. And we're like, are there any restrictions? And the agent's like, no, there's no home, no, nothing. It's unincorporated, just like where you live now. Oh, okay. But she said there's one. And you have to have 2,500 square feet under roof, so an attached garage doesn't even count. And it's what it does is it makes sure that all the people that we're talking about end up in high density in apartments.
Yep.
That's what it does. Like we want a house. As long as you can build a big house, you can build a big house. Otherwise, we want you in the Roach Motel, basically. Like in a pod, like in Black Mirror, where everybody had their own little pod on a bike. We went right back to the darkness, didn't we, Nicole?
It's okay. Like, we're not living in the darkness, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, that is the system is broken, and the only way, if you're obsessing over that, the only way to break out of it is to build your own thing. And, like, why I love talking to John is he just keeps building his own thing no matter what happens. So, it's, you know, same with you, Jack. It's that's. So if you are not surrounded by people like that, it's time to change who you're friends with.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, this is an interesting thing from Hey Hey Alabama. He said, if I'm required to answer it, what parts am I required to answer? Seems they have a lot of nosy questions. And, you know, there is that. And I just was up in West Virginia for the homeschool convention, and our mutual friend, Colonel Roy, in his talk was about legal compliance. And he was saying things like, you have in West Virginia, it's reasonable to homeschool, but there is more oversight like than there is here in Texas. And one of the things you have to do is declare that you're doing it, and you have to fill out a form. But the form that's on the county website or the state website has a whole bunch of information that you are not required by law to give them. But if you fill the form out and you don't fill those things out, you'll say you did not complete the form correctly, and they'll reject it. So what the Homeschool Association did, they made their own form that's completely compliant with the law. It doesn't have those fields. And they're like, it's on our site. It's free. Download it and send them this. They never decline this because it is legally compliant, and they can't stand behind, like, you didn't properly complete the form. And there's just so much of that, you know, tin badge Barney Fife bullshit and bureaucracy out there. It's ridiculous everywhere. And so that is a good question. Like, if I'm required to do it, show me the law, because, yeah, a lot of those questions on the census you are not required to answer at all, even by that law. My problem is once you start with those people, then it's a problem. So it's just easier to tell them to get fucked, because you know what didn't happen after I told the guy to get fucked? Nothing. Nothing happened. No one did anything. Like, I don't think they're going to send out, you know, a federal posse because I didn't participate in the census. And if they want to, you know what, please do. Because what a great episode that's going to be. And you're going to be live on the air. Like, if you want to help me out like that, go ahead and go for it.
Yeah, it's – somebody was just – like, what are you supposed to answer on the census? I think it's how many people. I think that's it.
I think it's the name of the primary property owner and the number of people.
Yeah.
And I think you are supposed to give their, like, male, female. Okay. And I think age. But here's another thing. Like,
age, like, how much do you make? What industry?
Yeah, yeah. They don't need all that shit. Yeah. And by law, they don't get that shit. But, like, that was another thing on Roy's form where they made their own form. They asked for the child's birth date. But the law doesn't say you give the birth date. It says you give the age. The age would be 7, right? So things like that, because once somebody has your – like, the more data you give them, the more they can try to make a case against you. So they don't need data that you're not required to give.
We get a corporate census, like, once a year. It's a huge packet. And I'm like, what is all that shit? What is all that? And she's like,
I have – Tennessee? Because that's where your corporation is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Tennessee or if it's federal, but every year there's a
– it has to be a state thing because I don't get that.
Well, it feeds the Department of Labor Statistics for Employment. It's the one I'm thinking of.
It might be because of the size of his business.
Yeah.
Like, we're under that threshold of gross revenue and employee headcount, so we don't get that then, I guess. I used to get one for the farm as long as we did a Schedule F, and we stopped doing it because we don't do enough to warrant it anymore. But I had a farm survey every year. It was long as shit, and like 90% of it didn't apply to me. And it, N-A. But I did fill that out because when I filed the Schedule F, I triggered that. I caused that to happen. So, okay, I wanted the deductions. You want the farm data. Fine, here. Yes, we have 130 ducks, and that's all we do. How many, you know, it'd be like, you know, how many acres do you till a year? N-A. Not even zero. N-A. Bring a tiller here. Go ahead. Go for it.
Right.
Yeah. The fucking parking lot, you idiots. You know.
Okay, got one. Nicole, with the potential for a super El Nino happening this winter and causing a drought in the southern hemisphere, are you planning on stocking up on coffee beans before it potentially hits? No. Why I'm not is because I stock up on coffee beans for the year anyway, and so that is irrelevant to me. If it becomes more relevant, fine, but I also don't want a bunch of coffee beans sitting around for a bunch of years here getting stale, because that's not my brand. So if there's a time where I really can't annually source my coffee beans, I'll probably change where I focus. Or price will go way up and I'll sell less.
I'll tell you, I don't know exactly how it all played out, but what it did to us this year was, like, beginning of summer was great, cool, lots of rain, and then just by mid-July, it got no rain, 100-plus degree days. Like, it was a we were coasting through summer until mid-July.
Moldy beans. Yeah, I don't want moldy beans.
No moldy beans.
Yeah, so here we had a lot of rain, which worked in my favor because I didn't have to water my garden at all until recently. And now it's really dry, and I expect it's going to stay dry for a bit. You think so, John?
Yeah, we're supposed to be all 97 all week.
Yeah, it's toasty here.
Cold front.
They're saying we're going to have summer temperatures.
109 yesterday here.
All the way up to Christmas, they're saying we're going to have summer temperatures all the way up to December.
Oh, interesting.
Business Census asks about employees, funds spent on R&D, offsite contractors, physical development in business. Amanda, is that state of Tennessee or is that federal?
Amanda knows what she's filling out. Yeah, so it makes it harder here when it doesn't rain to get stepping posts in the ground and that sort of thing. The other thing they're saying the super El Nino will do is bring snow and cold to our part of the world because it pushes the cold down in the winter. So,
yeah, there's a lot of people saying a lot of the content creators are saying we're supposed to have terrible winters this winter. It's going to be very, very cold, longer than normal. But at the same time, they're saying we're going to have summer temperatures all the way up to December. So I don't know if you get on, or at least my feeds, everything is prepare to be without power for 18 months. Cyber attacks, government's going to shut it down, you know, the whole thing. And I suspect that that's what's selling. That's what's getting people to click.
Yeah.
I've got friends that we've had the conversation in the past. I know they've got a little generator and they've got some water and stuff. And now people who are really not preppers are kind of like, I'm going to put away 1,000 gallons of water and I'm going to get, you know, fuel and heat sources. Yeah. And I did. I sent your generator show out to probably 10 people yesterday when I listened to that thing. And, you know, you got a lot of friends that have generator. I'm like, how much fuel do you have? Well, I don't have any fuel. I'm like, you know, that generator takes fuel, right?
That's like I got lots of guns and no ammo, right? It's the same thing. Right.
You're better off with a bicycle in that case.
Yep.
Because you can hook it up to something.
You know, when they start that stuff, though, they're going to shut down the grid. They're going to shut down the internet and all. My question is always, and how does that benefit them, whoever they are in your world, right? They want control. They don't want people pissed off and hanging them from lampposts, right? Shutting shit down would be when you have an actual revolution in place and we're communicating with it. Then they'll shut it down. Everybody's basically, what does this say? We were warned.
There's some FBI studies that show gang violence, inner city youth went drastically down, cut like by 50% when PlayStation came to be. When the PlayStations became commonplace, the youngsters weren't out smoking each other. And that is the case, right? As long as you've got amusement, entertainment, have this that they find other things to do. And that, I believe that was Los Angeles. I believe that was Los Angeles where those numbers came from. But you can look it up and see it. It's FBI crime statistics.
I'm sure it's everywhere, you know. This is your mark of the beast from the Bible right here, man. Right? No man could buy or sell unless he received the mark of the beast in his right hand or on his forehead, right? Like, that's a little creepy when you think about it that way. And I'm not like a religious person or anything, but a thing can be true or a thing can be symbolically and accurate, even if it's not actually like a true prophecy being fulfilled. Like, how do they benefit? Like, we pay our taxes with the grid. Right. That's the money we give them. They control us with the grid. They control us with the news. They control us with the media. They control us through short form video and influencers and shit. They're not going to shut that shit off. That's like saying the guards are going to turn the power off to the fence to punish us. Right. Like, you're going to shut off the electric fence. Why would they do that? The fence keeps you in. The box controls you. It keeps you in. They're not going to shut it off. They're all rich. They all lose money too if they shut it off. How do they sell all their shit? How do they run their payroll? This is all dumb. Like, I think people just want to be afraid.
I think a lot of it's for attention too. I mean, what gets the clicks? You have to make some crazy AI thumbnail. You look at these guys, Steve Ram and some of these other guys that are, you know, news readers, but always a catastrophe. Lately you'll see a bunch of titles that say we've nuked Iran. But when there, nowhere there was no nukes involved, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like that cycle repeats in so many ways. Like this dude that I see occasionally on YouTube. He was a former fighter pilot. I think he was an F-16 pilot, Max Afterburn.
Yeah, F-14.
Right. So he's always like, Iran's done now. Like, and he's been saying that for like 120 days, right? And then the U.S. just did this, and it's over for them now. And it's like, could you come up with a new spin, right? We took out their radar. No, it's over again, right?
Yeah,
even though it's still ongoing, like. And what people do, they find something that works and they keep doing it. I don't actually blame the creator for that, because they only do it because all the eyeballs come. Like if I do a show, like if I have a normal week and I do one show that's like blood and guts, fire and brimstone, my attendance in a live is 4 times higher than if I'm like, today I'm going to teach you how to feed yourself from your own backyard.
Yep.
People want the guts. They want the gore. And so the people want it. That's why the creators do it.
Yep. Jose says, not only fuel, you definitely need oil and parts. I have some Honda clone. I have Honda generators, but I have some Honda clones that came from Costco. And much to my surprise, when you open those up, there is no oil in them. Not only was there no oil in them, there is not a bottle of oil in the box either.
Yeah, same it's thing normally they ship without oil in the case, but usually they give you the little bottle.
Yeah, I bought some equipment from Tractor Supply when I got my John Deere tractor. I needed a brush hog, so I bought one from Tractor Supply. And I remember asking the dude, I said, is there oil in this? And he says, I don't know. And we looked, and there was no tag or anything. So we bought oil to put in it. And when we got it home, there was no oil in it, nor was there a warning or anything about not having oil in that. So it just goes back to, you know, test that stuff before you need it.
Yeah, that's what Ryan calls the Schrodinger's generator.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take it out of the box and see if it actually works before you decide you can depend on it.
Might want to make sure it's in the box.
I like the clone approach too, because, you know, you can buy 3 or 4 clones for the cost of one. And you know what makes it really easy to fix a generator that's having a problem? You shut it off and start the other generator.
Yeah.
That makes it really easy, right? And like for like those Predator generators that are basically Honda clones, the EU2000, EU3600s, right? Like you can literally buy 3 for the price of 1 and 60 gallons of gas with cans.
Yeah, not only
cases, right? Like
not only that, that orange thing that he had that you guys were talking about, those are what, under $300?
The heaters?
No, the orange generators that you guys have on the thumbnail. I looked that up. I think they're $286. Dude, you could buy 4 of them and put them in each outbuilding and just keep.
I don't know which show you're talking about now, because we both just interviewed him on the same kind of subject.
No, I'm talking about your show.
Your show.
Oh, mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked a lot about critical load solar and that, and it has me rethinking things a lot, because, you know, what I realized during that is, like, people are going out and buy these Generacs and all in, and it's nice because the power goes off and the lights go and you're back. And if you travel a lot and shit and, like, your wife's home alone, I totally get why you would do that, especially if you have grid natural gas. Like, natural gas will be the last thing to stop flowing. But if I put in a $12,000, $13,000 Generac and nothing happens for 2 years, I've recouped 0 of my investment, right? I've burned a little gas because every time it has to start up, like every couple of weeks, it starts up, runs the system, shuts down. I'm in the hole. If I spend $10,000, $12,000 on critical load solar, my ROI begins immediately. It comes right off my electric bill. And just like the generator, I don't have to do anything when the power goes out. We just have certain things don't come on anymore, right? I'm on backup power.
Yeah.
But I can do things like I can run you know, my window unit air conditioners for comfort in certain rooms and what have you. And it's just a different way of looking at it that I never really thought of.
Yeah, these are AI Volt is the company, and they're $268. They're just little Honda clones. They're attenuated housing, quiet.
What are they called? AI Volt?
Yep, AI Volt on Amazon there. Speaking of the Predators, right, we say dual fuel. There's not even a dual fuel anymore. They're all tri-fuel. So when you buy it, and it's literally a knob, you don't have to change jets anymore or anything, and it'll run on propane, natural gas, or gasoline. And those Predators, and they're pretty cool. Those tri-fuels now, you don't even have – it has a quick fitting like an air chuck has. So I can put a nipple on my gas line outside my commercial kitchen here, and then to hook that generator up, I just plug it in and then run the cords in the door.
Yep.
So that's great. So natural gas, you know, let's say we only get 2 weeks. Most emergencies are going to be well over within 2 weeks. And then if we need to, we can run gasoline or we can run propane. I've got, 50 barbecue tanks sitting around here filled up and jammed at all times. You get 20% less running propane, but it doesn't ever go bad. You don't have to worry about, did we rotate it?
So this is not the one you were talking about. This is a much bigger one. But, I mean, look at the price on that.
Yeah.
So 4,300 watts, that's your starting watts. It's about 3,400 running watts. $439.
They got this 1600 volt, right? 1600 watt. So I assume that's a startup. So we could safely say it's equivalent to an EU1000 Honda.
Yeah.
Except the EU1000 Honda is a grand. You can buy four of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
And they've got dual fuels. This company has dual fuels.
What did you say? That it's a 1600?
Yeah, look at the AI Volt 1600 watt. It's a limited time deal, 19% off. It's $268.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's so inexpensive. It's a Honda clone, like you said. It's not really a Honda. It's not as reliable as a Honda. If you're using it for backup power, how often are you going to use it? And I'd rather have two of those and 20 5-gallon gas cans numbered 1 through 12 in rotation and have money left over than one Honda, which I can do at that price.
Yeah, we use these all over the place, battery packs, right?
So go to tspaz.com first.
Yeah, we use battery packs all over the place. I use them to charge my earbuds, charge my phones, and then whenever the thing's down at 50% or whatever, I just plug it into the wall. But I don't leave any of that stuff. I use these constantly. I've got a dozen of these things that I'm constantly charging off of. When the power goes out, I'm not running a microwave. I'm not running, I've got natural gas for the stove. We're not drying clothes when the power goes out. What are we running? We're running these things for the most part. And, I had never thought about keep heat close to your body like that, like he was talking about, just running off of a battery pack. Milwaukee, everybody's got them, but Milwaukee makes probably 200 pieces of clothing. They got heated hats, they've got heated gloves, heated vests, heated jackets, heated blanket. You were gonna, if it's in the summer, we're gonna run a mini split, which we can easily run off of a generator, or I've got big battery packs. But the thing is, I can always re-jam those battery packs off of that generator. We've got foldable solar panels and stuff, but we can jam them up really quick just running the generator.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something else he mentioned that I thought was really cool. He had a thing that this. I need to get one of these so I can run it as an item of the day. Let me get this up. And they make them for other manufacturers. This one just happens to be for DeWalt. And basically you slap two of your power tool batteries into it, and then you have this little portable power station with some 110 plugs, but really USB and stuff like that. And this is like $115.
They also make, for every brand, they make just he calls them a hat, and it just goes on your battery. It's about the size of your battery, but it's got USB-Cs and A's out of that.
Oh, yeah, I have those for mine. Yep. Yeah, like generic chinesium ones, and they're like under $20.
Well, they make real ones, too, like Milwaukee and DeWalt actually puts their own out. And then I'm sure everybody knows, but if anybody does not, you don't have to be brand specific anymore. They've got an adapter plate that'll cross. You have to get the proper one.
Yeah.
But if you got yellow and red tools and you want to use some Makita or something. I've got Dyson vacuums, right? Those stupid things, that damn thing, the battery pack for it's like $200. I bought an adapter plate for $15 and it runs Milwaukee batteries now.
Perfect.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I wonder if they make them so Porter Cable will run off of a DeWalt, because I have a couple Porter Cable brackets.
Dude, I'll bet they're right on. I promise you, they're on Amazon.
Because Porter Cable's low end, but like, how much am I going to use a Brad Nailer? And I just couldn't bring myself to spend $300 on a Brad Nailer with the
Speaking low end, I mean, even Harbor Freight's stuff is just immensely better.
Yeah.
I was reupholstering some seats on some four wheelers. And just being funny, I bought every single staple gun that Lowe's and Home Depot had. Amanda and I went and I bought 20 some staple guns. And I bought the sharpened staples. Not a single one of those would punch that staple into that seat pan enough that it would be functional. And I went and got that $40 rechargeable Bauer one from Harbor Freight. It shoots it completely in flush. It's got it recharges off a USB-C. Man, that thing has been great. I've had it for a couple of years now.
Cool. Yeah, Harbor Freight I'm afraid to go into because I'll go to get one thing. And I'll come out. The other day I had to go. I got the one thing and I left and I only bought the one thing. I didn't touch anything else. And I was going to make a meme. You know, the one with the kids at the dad's feet. It's like a 50s image. I'm like, Dad, what did you do during the pandemic? And he'd be like, you know, I didn't wear a mask and I told everybody to saw it off. And the little boy's like, fucking legend. Like, I was going to make, like, what'd you do today, Dad? I went to Harbor Freight and I bought only the one thing. And the little kid's like, fucking legend, because it is like it calls to your wallet when you walk in there. There's always something.
If you're a TEC member, I think it's $35 for a year, but it's like $45 for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you get a text every day, which is super smart of them. They've always got some stuff in there that's 25-30% off. And then they've got a sliding scale. If you buy three items, you get everything for 25 off. This weekend they had a thing. You go in there and spend $38. You get to pick a packet of 4 10 millimeter sockets, all different, you know, depths and stuff, or a set of step drill bits or a set of red rags. That's what the deal was this weekend.
Everybody should own step drill bits, by the way. Those are one of the most utilitarian things on the planet.
Yep. That's how we punched holes in all of those tartar feed troughs, the water troughs. We used all, I think I did like 30 of those things as raised beds.
And they're cheap at Harbor Freight, right? And like the name brand ones are like $30 a piece.
Drill bits are really expensive.
They're not any better. They're not any better at all.
I think that's how I'm sure they
made the same place in Zhangxing or whatever.
The free giveaway was always a tape measure or a flashlight for the longest time.
Yeah. Harbor Freight is kind of like Amazon Prime was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good.
Where like you really felt like the free shipping was actually free shipping. And it worked brilliantly because you're like, well, shipping's free. I should order some more shit, you know? Or they had a minimum on it. They'd be like, if you spend another $10, your shipping's free. And like the shipping's $8, you're like, boom, I'll find something. You know, that's what Harbor Freight does to you.
Amazon will scroll across as a notification says, if you order in the next 2 hours, we can add this to your order that's already coming. Man, I order stuff Sunday night off Amazon and it shows up here Monday morning.
Yeah, everybody wants to learn how to market. Like, think of where you spend the most of your money and how they get your money and do that.
Yeah.
Like, stay in contact with your customer, put deals in front of them, incentivize them to add. Like, that incentivize to add, that's when you're getting into ARPU, which is your average revenue per user, right? Like, and when you drive that up, you build business exponentially higher. And it's much easier to get somebody who's already buying from you to buy one more thing, like really good gummy bears or something, John, than it is to find another customer to buy one more thing.
Yeah. Upsells, low-cost items.
All those gummy bears, bro.
Gummy bears, patches, stickers, beanies, T-shirts.
I remember the one year you were telling me you were making more money on an order on gummy bears than anything else in an order on average.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the gummy bars are delicious.
Yeah.
When they're U.S. made. And when we order them, they're not in a warehouse. They actually make them when we place the order.
Those are the best gummy bears, except for the pink ones.
I like those.
I hate grapefruit, ones. Dude.
Oh, I never knew those were grapefruit until you told me.
There's a store that I get them from when I travel down to South Texas. It's like a Czech shop. It's got all these Czechoslovakian shit. It's the exact same brand.
Yeah.
And I don't eat a lot of gummy bears, but when I go down there, I don't buy them on the way down, but when I'm coming back through on the way home, it's like 90 minutes to home, I buy one big bag of them, and I leave a fucking trail of pink gummy bears on the highway. They go out the window of the Challenger. And I don't even have to touch them, or I don't have to look at them. Like, when I stick my hand in the bag out of the console to get one, as soon as I touch it, I can smell the – it's just like out the window. Like, I know that is grapefruit and that is bad.
Alabama says Amazon has shipping built into the price and still charges. Sure they do. Yep. It's still – if it's not less cost per cost compared to a local store or Walmart, just the convenience of it. For Amanda to go to Walmart, it's 15 minutes there. It's 30 minutes of her time, and it's 15. So that's a man hour of Amanda's time.
Yep.
And then when we use the when we use the delivery service from Walmart, they no longer deliver from our Walmart. They deliver from a Walmart an hour away.
Yeah.
And the quoted time of 1 hour or whatever, it's always 3 or 4 hours. So yeah. you've got milk, you've got meat, you've got whatever you ordered, whatever there is in there. You don't know how long that's been traveling. You have no way to know. So Amazon, are they the devil? Absolutely they are. But cost-wise, it costs me way too much money to go to Walmart. It costs me too much money to have Amanda go to Walmart. Amazon, it just works for us.
Well, and with Amazon, to judge the shipping right, you have to understand that you're always buying on Amazon, but you're not always buying really from Amazon.
Yeah,
a lot of the individual vendors, and your higher shipping and all usually is those people because they don't have – the Amazon warehouse scalability that Amazon does. Amazon's going to be out delivering every day anyway.
Amazon comes here 3 times a day.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And then
you'll look for something sometimes on Amazon. It'll be super cheap, and the shipping on it'll be like $8, but you need 10 of them. So you're like, well, fuck it. I don't care about $7. I'm going to buy 10 of them for $80. Well, when you do that, they charge you for shipping for every single one of them individually at that full price. That's a vendor who's basically full of shit, and that's why the price is so low.
Yeah, and Walmart, too, when you look at stuff on Walmart, they're trying to compete with Amazon now. They're selling all kinds of stuff they don't have possession of. You as an individual can list your products just like you can on Amazon. You can list them on Walmart.com.
Yeah, and free shipping is never free.
No, somebody paid it.
But free shipping's never free. There's no universe where the free shipping you get from somebody like Color Roast Coffee isn't built into the price of your coffee to begin with.
When you think about it, like, shipping's a good deal. Unless it's like there's some absorbent bullshit like we just talked about. Most of the time, what would you charge me, Nicole, if I said, look, man, this bowl's very light, very simple. I want you, when you're here, I want you to drive it to Philadelphia for me.
A lot.
And I mean, when you think about it that way, like, shipping's a deal. If you had to get this to Philadelphia without USPS or UPS or FedEx or whatever, like, what would the alternative be? And so I think, like, and John said, I think people need to put it in their mindset of what is your time worth? Like, if you're spending an hour to do something and you think your time's worth $50 and the shipping's 10, just buy it and have it shipped.
I mean, that's the argument for having groceries delivered to your house, too. If you're tipping $20 for a monthly order or something or whatever you do.
I just don't trust people to pick out, like, my meat, my produce and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's...
Like, and we don't eat a lot of shit in boxes. If I lived on Kraft macaroni and cheese and shit, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. But, if I want some ribeyes.
You want specific ribeyes?
Yeah. I don't want Karen picking them out.
Awesome.
Well, a lot of the people delivering for, for Walmart delivery are pretty impoverished, a lot of them, right? And they're not going to buy the best. They're just in there to get it as fast as they can. They don't have your interest. Right. And they're not going to do what you do or what I do.
Yeah. I mean, haven't you ever looked at a piece of meat and, like, two of them basically have the same amount of fat or whatever on them, but you just look at it and you just know, like, that's a better cut.
Yeah.
And since I'm going to eat it and I'm paying for it, I care. And Karen, who's running the, WhatsApp cart around or whatever they call it, Instacart, like, doesn't care. It's two ribeyes, one, two, done.
Oh, yeah. Walmart's been busted. Target's been busted. Everybody's been busted recently over their weights not matching.
if you own a scale, you'll find that nobody's honest. And what a lot of them are doing, they're weighing the packaging. So if you throw the whole package on the scale, it will be the weight it says. But when you take the food out and put it on there, it's not.
So not at Walmart. There's a ton of that.
They're just straight up fucking you.
Yeah. You'll buy a whatever ground beef, a pound of ground beef. But when you put it on a scale, it's you know, a little over 3/4 with the packaging.
Oh, no.
Yep.
That makes you want to buy all – when you buy stuff like that, like go to the counter where the dude weighs it right in front of you. Like,
well, they're not.
I noticed that with like packaged chicken thigh and stuff like that because we use that to make our dog food. And I'll bring it home and I'll weigh it. It'll be exactly what it says it is or very close. But by the time you take the packaging out and all the chicken viper shit and all, what you actually got was 80% of the or 85% of the weight advertised.
Yeah, and they say you know, big chicken's been bleached 8 times by the time it's in the package. What's that doing to the breakdown of the protein content and the nutrient density to it? I mean,
I figure it's better than Alpo kibble, though.
Oh, it probably is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. People saying their dogs are having all kinds of kidney issues and you know, stuff from big dog food.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got our oldest now, Lucy. She's about 13. She's still running. And 5 years ago, that dog wasn't running anywhere. When we started feeding her that way, it all changed. She's a different dog.
Yeah, dynamic pricing. So we've been in there when the prices have changed. And they say that based off of my algorithm versus your algorithm and zip code and where we live and the types of fuel we buy, your price is going to change versus my price. If somebody spends more money on certain things, the price as you pull it off the shelf will be higher than the lady next to you.
So I'm just hoping my dude down the road has a half beef for me after the workshop. I can't do it right now. I don't have a freezer space, you know, and it's just so much better. I'm buying a cow. I can go look at the cow. There's the cow. Cow gets in the truck, goes and gets a bolt in the head. And 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, I go pick up the meat. Like, that is so much better than what we're talking about.
Yeah. There's people too that have gone into the store. They've seen a price online. They'll go into the store, go to ring up and realize that the price is much higher than what they thought. And they'll show them and they're like, no, you only get that lower price if you have it delivered to you. You don't, that's not in store price.
Yeah. That's a lot of, there's a lot of rules.
There was a commercial. I don't remember who it was for. It was some supermarket and like they had like their competitors market supposedly. And like the dude's trying to pick stuff up and like dudes are roping down and changing the price before he can pick it up out of the meat case and shit. And sometimes you literally feel that way. That's kind of what you're just talking about there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Checking for an airline ticket. Yeah. Yeah. Everything's like that now. Like go to Trivago, except it's going to be like grocery Vago or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the same groceries for less.
What's that little app you put on your taskbar that tells you that looks at Amazon and tells you if it's real reviews or not? What was that thing you used to use all the time?
Oh, I used to use a different one called FakeSpot, but it's gone.
Got it. That's what it was.
What I use now is an AI tool, and let me see what it's called. It's called Analyze Reviews. Here, I'll show you right now what it does. It's pretty cool. I actually like it better than the FakeSpot thing because you don't have to like take the link and go do something with it. You just hit Analyze Reviews. It'll refresh the page, and it uses AI. It's called Fake Find, and it'll right here come up, and it'll say it's like 4.0 out of 5. Adjusted rating is 3.8. Gives you information, and then it gives you trusted alternatives. And so that's what I've been using since. Just know this, if you click their trusted alternatives, it, the way they're making their money, it's going to cookie you with their affiliate link.
Got it.
And they're basically, that's how they're monetizing it. And I think Amazon did something that made Fake Find unable to monetize, and that's why they're like, well, then we have no
– got it. So I had it
– purpose.
I actually had it on my taskbar, and it worked – all over the place. It didn't just work on Amazon. It worked on anything I was looking at.
Yeah. Use that. But if you're T-spazzing, man, don't click their links, man. I got to make my 13 cents or whatever. Amazon's really cut that program too, like as an affiliate. We used to make really good money on it. We sell just as much. And I'll put it this way, all that income's under Dorothy instead of me. And she's still able to collect her Social Security. Because it's not enough money to, well, like this, there's no tax on it now, according to Trump. But before that, it didn't affect that. And so
we went from making a couple grand to a few hundred. I did notice the other day, though, when I clicked on something, it said, do you want a link for this? And when I looked at it, it said it'll give 3%. I thought, wow, 3% is actually pretty high compared to what it has been. And like Alabama said, she called her mom, said, what are you doing? And mom said, I'm changing my reviews on Amazon because they pay me. That's actually, as a creator, you can make more money leaving reviews on Amazon than anything else they're doing.
Yeah, I was just interviewed by this chick named Amy a couple of weeks ago about my books, and she does live streams on Amazon, and it's almost like HSN or something, like on like light. So she'll interview one author and pimp their books and shit, but then she'll have like what kind of tea are you drinking or whatever, and things that you like, and then things she likes, and after she lets you go, she basically pimps all the shit as an affiliate.
Oh, and puts all the click links in there on hers.
Yeah, well, it's automatic in her account. It's some kind of influencer program they have. And what happens is if some, like nobody's looking for her shit on Amazon, but when they're examining product, if her video comes up and they use her video to make a decision, she is paid.
Got it.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting, but it also sounds like they don't make as much money as they used to either.
Yeah, they're like, trying to rope everybody back in.
She doesn't make her money from the Amazon commissions anymore. Now she makes it because the people that she pimps their shit will pay her to pimp their shit. So he's a direct relationship with the advertiser, basically circumventing Amazon, which Amazon apparently doesn't give shit about because it still sells more shit on Amazon.
Yeah, they don't care as long as they're
and their rules are really tight too. Like she said, like you had to fill out this form to be on her show, and it was like, you know, what are you going to be drinking? And it can't be alcohol. And like she said, you can't like pimp like buying your book on your own website or something like that. And I'm thinking this is to protect her commissions. It's not. Amazon, if you do anything to send people off Amazon during that stream, will shut your shit down instantly, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I was doing reviews for Amazon, like a daily thing, kind of like you do with T-Spaz. But we were actually putting the link out in our email. So every time an email would go out and Amazon said, stop that shit, we're going to kill your account. You have to – they are very – if you start making any kind of money, they notice that really quickly and they shut it down.
I've had a bunch of nasty grass over the years, and they finally decided, I guess, to leave me alone. They would just keep like nitpicking on like exactly what the verbiage was or whatever. And like, you assholes, we do over $1 million in sales a year for you. Like, don't you have something better to do than dick around with somebody that's generating that much revenue for you? And a lot of it is pull through revenue, but without all the stuff we actually sell, that wouldn't happen either. And now that they cut the commissions, do you know what it used to be, John? It was 8.5% if you sold enough.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Right. And we had years where we did over 100,000 as an affiliate, like not in sales, like that was what we made. And now we're lucky to make 20 grand a year.
Yes. And certain products bring more. Like I got $75 when some dude bought a ladder. The ladder was only like $200 and Amazon kicked us $75 out of that.
Oh, because it was some kind of promo or something.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of affiliates now. What they do is they look at the product schedule and like certain classifications pay like more like 4.5%. And so they only market the highest returning items. But I don't want to do that. I want to market shit that's useful to people that I actually use myself.
Yep.
And that's why we like your list, Jack.
T-Spaz.com.
So we're at 2 hours. Why don't we go around the horn? I'll start today, and y'all can wrap it up. John was put his hand up. So I'm Nicole Soss from Living Free in Tennessee, and if you want to support me, probably the best thing you can do, because you'll support yourself more than me, is come to that soil class. That's October 2nd and 3rd, livingfreeintennessee.com. You're going to learn things you didn't even know you needed to know. John, go.
John Willis, Special Operations Equipment. I do a live every night at 9 o'clock. Jump on. We can talk about pretty much anything you want. We put a T-shirt out every week, different T-shirt. We do nylon tactical gear. We do all kinds of lifestyle stuff also. So SOE Tactical Gear is the website, and I'll see you on the live tonight at 9 o'clock.
Jack Spierko, host of the Survival Podcast. We're about to hit 3,900 episodes. And so we've been around a while, and come on by, check the site out. Again, thesurvivalpodcast.com. I actually bought survivalpodcast.com off somebody, so that'll read it. That's cool. Are they going to bail you out? Just run you around. They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.